Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's sufficient to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through the fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I cried, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows take, how many times around the wheel till they're sufficient to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be the potter knows the clay. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay.
So I made a phone call to Alabama, and the gentleman on the other end says, I will. When I said, will you? So Brother Atkins is coming right now and take over. Amen.
Well, I've enjoyed the services so far. I've enjoyed the singing, and I always enjoy hearing Sister Wendy sing. She's a blessing to me, and I appreciate her and all the other singers. We've got a group of talented people that can sing, and I appreciate each and every one of them. Brother Mike, you was a blessing tonight. I appreciated that. I was talking with Brother Kimball before services, and this morning, I had to take the baby out early, and so when I come back in from the nursery, Brother Alton sounded like he was talking in tongues. It's some kind of kesis or desis or something. And so I asked Brother Kimball, what was he talking about? What is that? He said, it's real bad breath. And I said, oh, I know all about that. I wake up with Glenda every morning. I also told Brother Kimball this morning I woke up in the bed with Glenda, but I probably won't tomorrow since I'm preaching tonight. when you live with Miss Atkins, you only get one chance to say anything. She's usually doing all the talking. So I better take advantage of it while I can. And I will call a taxi as soon as service is over. Yeah, brother, could you drive me home in the bus? Other brother Joe, okay. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture. I know you, they're familiar to you, and it seems like one of our pastors preached from here not long ago, not too long ago. But the other night, or the other day, maybe it was the night service, the visiting preacher that drew with the chalk, he preached along the lines of not wanting to be mediocre, and he wanted to do something great for the Lord. And I've been thinking about that ever since he preached, and the Lord laid a few thoughts on my heart in that regard, and so I want to share that with you tonight. Oh, that was good. 2 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains. The same was, Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." I'm glad my daddy's name wasn't Dodo, because I was named after him. And I'd have probably lived up to my name. Probably still do. Yeah. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, and one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. They were fled away. They took off. They left Eleazar by himself in the field of battle. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Haorite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Now I want you to look down in verse number 19. And here the Bible is talking about Abishai, the brother of Joab. And it says this, "Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three." When I looked that phrase up, it said he didn't measure up to the first three. And then look down in verse number 23, talking about Benaiah, one of David's mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. Again, he didn't measure up to the first three. Now, having read this, let's close our eyes for prayer. Then I want to deliver the message the Lord has given to my heart tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be here. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to settle into being less than our best for you. Lord, I pray that we would take an example from these men. And Father, I pray that we'd apply it to our hearts and our life. And Lord, I pray in these last days that you would raise an army up of mighty men that would stand faithful to you and in face of everything that's going on and will be going on in the days to come before you return. Now, Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, just for a little bit, I want to talk about the characteristics of greatness. The characteristics of greatness that we can find in these three men. Now, there were 30 of these super warriors, if you will. David's special forces, if you would. But they were great in the eyes of David. But apparently there was something about these first three that stood out in the heart of David. And David, all the other men, did not attain to the first three. They just didn't quite measure up and to the first three. In other words, they were the mightiest of the mighty. They were the greatest of the great. They were the ones that David could always rely on to do what was necessary and to be brave and valiant and were men of valor and did not fear the enemy, but they did everything they could do for the honor and the glory of their king. These men were allegiant to their king, and they lived for the opportunity to bring him honor and glory. And as I thought about these men and the characteristics that we can find here, and then I think about the church in our day, I wonder sometimes, have we lost these characteristics in a great way? When I look out at the church, kind of like our brother was preaching the other day, when I look out at Christendom across this nation, I don't know about the world, but I know about this nation, and we're not nowhere near what we should be, and we're not nowhere near what we once were. We've kind of settled down in this world. The first trait that I want us to notice is that of priorities. That of priorities. And in looking at priorities, I want us to look at verse number 8. And these be the name of the mighty men David had. The Tekoite that sat in the gate, or sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his sword against 800 whom he slew at once. And so here I find a man that had his priorities in order. The Bible said that he sat in the seat. And in Bible times, that's a place of authority. And apparently, he sat in a place of authority militarily because he was the chief among the captains. In other words, this man had clout. This man was a great man. He probably had not only military clout, but he had a political clout to go along with that as well. No doubt, he was a man of prosperity. He was a man of influence. But when the signal came that it was time to go to war, he climbed off his seat and he grabbed his spear and he went to war. Because his priority was to King David. His priority was to his king. And so when it came time for war, instead of eliciting another man to fight in his stead, which he could have done, instead he himself climbed off his seat of authority and went to war. I think sometimes we all are sitting on a seat of authority in our own minds. And when the Lord says it's time to go to battle, we want to make excuses for why we can't. We want to sit on our high horses. We want to sit on our little thrones. And we want to say, I'm not getting mixed up in this warfare. I could get hurt. I could get wounded. I could get hurt in this fight. Dear friend, I want to say to you, we need to make sure that our priorities are in order. And anything that comes between us and our king, we need to put it in its place and get off our high horses and go to war. Amen. He was a man of authority, but he had accomplishments for the king. He took his spear,
He slew 800 at one time. If he had stayed on his seat of authority, he'd have never known the thrill of victory that can come. He'd have never known what it was to stand before his king and be acknowledged for his accomplishments for the king. When I get to heaven, I want to be able to show the Lord battle scars. I want him to look down at me and see, that man's been in the battle. That man didn't climb upon a little pedestal somewhere. He didn't try to make excuses for staying out of the battle. But he got in there and he took his spear and he did what he was supposed to do. I want God to look at me and see a warrior that's been faithful. Not one that had my priorities all out of whack and put him last instead of first. Oh, I look at this world today. Their priorities are all out of whack. I look at our government. You know why we're in a mess today? It's because God is at the bottom, or he's not even on the priority list. Everything else is above him. And as a result, our nation, the nation that forgets God, shall be turned to hell. And we're turning right now. Pretty soon we'll be burning because we've forgotten God. I look at Hollywood and they come up and they say, when they're getting their Oscars and their awards, and the singers, when they're getting their awards, they say, I want to thank God for giving me the talent to do this. But you look at the contents of their movies. You listen to the lyrics of their songs. They don't know God. They've never met him. They don't know God, or they wouldn't be behaving and saying the things that they do. A man that loves the Lord, man that's allegiance to God, will not use God's name in vain for money in the movie industry. Man that's in love with God, a man that's allegiant to the Lord, his captain, will never use illicit language in a song for popularity means. And a Christian that's worth his salt won't watch it and won't listen to it. I don't know how I got off on that. But our priorities have gotten all out of whack as a church and as Christians. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Got to deny your mother, father, sister, brother, and even your own self also. But our priorities are so out of whack. Family comes first nowadays. Family comes first. Sports comes first. A television show will come first. The easiest and simplest little thing, we slide before the Lord. The most meaningless thing in life, we slide before our King. Is it no wonder we're losing battles? Is it no wonder we're losing ground instead of gaining ground? Is it no wonder that we stay awake worrying about our kids and grandkids? They're growing up in a world that's godless and knows nothing about God. It's time for we, the church, to get our priorities back in line so that we can know true greatness in the service of God. Amen. The second is persistency. We find that in Eliezer and in Shammah. These men were persistent. Both of their situations were kind of similar. They come upon the Philistines. One time, well, the first time they with Eliezer, he come up on the Philistines, and all the men just turned around and took off running. All the soldiers just left him. And so he stood up, grabbed his sword, and said, bring it. I'm not leaving this piece of ground. I belong to King David, and he's commissioned me as my commander-in-chief to watch over this piece of ground. And I'm going to die swinging this sword, but I will not surrender this land for honor of my king. I want to say to you, dear friend, there was something of a persistent nature in his spirit. As you read the text, he was persistent with the sword. He wouldn't let it go. He began to swing, and he began to swing. His arm got tired, and as his arm began to weaken, his hand began to shake, but still he wouldn't leave the sword. His hand clave to the sword. He wouldn't drop it. He wouldn't denounce it. He wouldn't turn and throw it down and turn and walk away from it, but he swung it into the enemy. And when he got tired and his strength was given out, I believe he kept on swinging. How's that possible? I believe that the unseen hand made an invisible appearance and grabbed a hold of his hand and began to swing it for him. And pretty soon the enemy was conquered because of one man's persistency. One man decided to stay faithful while the others ran. God so honored that he wrought a great victory that day. The other man was Shammah. He was commissioned by David to stand over and defend a field of lentils. Now, this is one of David's men. Now, when I was studying this, I don't know, I may be wrong, but or the books that I read may be wrong, but they had these little fields all over Israel. And in times of famine or in times of want, they would grow this stuff and store this stuff. They also fed the population in times of want. And then other times, the widows and the lame that couldn't manage a field themselves, they were welcome to go and glean into that field or have somebody do it for them. But they were welcome to the food that was there. It didn't seem like it was a really important post because there were so many of them scattered around. But King David looked at Shammah and said, I want you to stand in this field and I want you to protect it for Israel. And Shammah said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And there was a bunch of other men that went with him, and they stood in the field until a troop of the Philistines came. And when they came, the rest of them ran. But Shammah stood his ground, the Bible said. He defended the ground, and God gave a great victory. He was persistent. How persistent are you? When somebody makes fun of you, do you crawl up in a shell and never mention the Lord again for a month or two at a time? I was talking to somebody at work the other day, and this fella come in, and he was reading his Bible and at the table, and I said, that fella's a blessing. You know that? And he said, this fella said, I used to witness a lot here on the job till they started making fun of me. Now I just don't say nothing. And I thought about this text. There was no persistency there in this man's heart. There was something about him that wasn't as loyal to the king as he ought to have been. The king's servant would have spoke anyway. The king's servant would have taken the sword and would have used it. The king's servant would have not just slipped away into a shell, never to speak of the Lord again, but he would have went on and he'd have grabbed a trumpet and told the whole world about the king. These men were persistent because they were loyal to the king of to their king. Are you loyal to your King of Kings? Are you persistent enough to take a stand, not back away from it? Are you ashamed of the Word of God? Or will you take it in your hand and use it? And when it gets so heavy, you don't think you can wield it any longer, will you use it until the aid of the Spirit of God comes and helps you to stand faithful in the battle? Oh, dear friend, there's a field of lentil out there that we can use to feed a lost and a dying world. Will you stand your ground and defend it for your king? I'm telling you, dear friend, this is the day where God needs persistent brothers and sisters to stand in the army and be counted faithful to fight in the battle. We got too many cowards running around now. I'm going to come on one time. I've already come on more times than I need to. But I want to say Joel Osteen is a coward. If he belongs to God, and if he's God's man, He is a coward for not preaching the Word of God. I want to say to you that the pulpits across America are full of cowards that have laid the sword down, and instead they're preaching some kind of a social gospel, one that won't cut, one that won't dig in and show the people their problem. Oh, I'm telling you, dear friend, we need some servants in the army of God that'll swing the sword and that'll stand their ground in the face of the enemy. Amen. While I was thinking about this, I thought about our pastors. The commander-in-chief has given them a commission. That is to protect our souls as their flock, to feed us, to protect us, to care for us, to watch over us. And then we go home and we eat them for dinner. Don't make sense, does it, to you? God's put some loyal men here, dedicated men here, to watch over our souls. We ought to love them. We ought to pray for them, that they would be persistent in doing God's will. Brother Melvin, Brother Alton, I don't care what the truth may be that you're going to preach that day. It may whop me upside the head. But be faithful and persistent to preach it. I need it. I need it. I need to be hit with that sword from time to time. Need to be knocked in line. I need to know what God says. Sometimes I drift. I remember when I was pastoring and I'd preach, some of the people would look like I was aggravating them. And I thought to myself, I may be aggravating them. I don't know. I aggravate Glenda all the time, every time I get up. But I got to thinking about my pastors now that I'm not pastoring. I'm just a member like everybody else. And I want my pastors to be faithful and true and to be hard on me when they need to be hard, to preach the Word of God. And don't back up, don't give in, and don't surrender, but keep wielding that sword in these last days. I need it and you need it. God's children need to be fed the way they're supposed to. Brother Dave, Commander-in-Chief has commissioned you with a task to lead in this choir. And you're to do that by finding scriptural songs that uplift His name and to be a blessing and a help to the children of God that gather together here. Those that sing, I mentioned Sister Wendy, but there's a whole lot of others that sing. God's given you a talent, and He's commissioned you to use it in His service, because the soldiers need to hear the songs of Zion before they go out into battle. I'm going to tell you, we need each other to do our part in the army of God, or we won't be able to function the way that we're supposed to function. Oh, Brother William, God's given you a commission. The Commander-in-Chief has given you a commission to lead our young people, to train our teenagers. And dear friend, I'm telling you, you are going to be accountable to the Commander-in-Chief for whether you put your heart into it or whether you just go through the motions. There's a job to do, a battle to be won, and helping one soul in that classroom is your mission. You help as many as you can know who God is. The deacons in this church, you've been commissioned by not just your pastors, but the Most High God that they consulted before they asked you to be a deacon. The Commander-in-Chief gave them the approval, and now you've got a mission to fulfill. Do it with all your heart. You support these men. You back them up, and you support them with everything you got in you. This is God's man, and you're His helper, and you need to do your job to the greatest distinction that you can. Trustees, your pastors have asked you to serve because God has spoke to their heart and commissioned you to have a part in this army. Do your job well. Be faithful. Don't slack off, but do what God would have you to do. Support these men. I'm telling you, dear friend, there's a cause. There's a reason. There's a world to save. There's a king to honor. And we need to be busy doing both. But then last, and I need to go, we Glenda's already giving me the signal. Every time she starts doing that, she means I'm gone too long and I need to start winding it down. Brother Alton, would you give me a ride home? I'm starting to worry about it now. A little late. The third trait of greatness is I find his purpose. Purpose. We've already looked at these men individually and some of the great things they did. But did you notice the last part of what we read? There are 30 captains. Three of them went down to the cave where David was at, where the king was. They got close to the king, close enough to the king to where they heard his heart's desire. He said, oh, I wish I had a drink of water out of the well of Bethlehem that's by the gate. Just a drink of that water. I'm so homesick out here in this wilderness. I'm so tired of fighting these battles. King David was just human like the rest of us. He said, I'm just homesick. Love to get a taste of that water. I miss it so much. These three men heard what he said, and I believe they made eye contact. And then they started out to their own cave, and they walked about halfway to it. And Adino said, fellas, we can do this. We can do it. Our king, he just wants a drink of water. We've fought Philistines before. God's always been with us. Let's get King David that drink of water that he wants. I believe the other two said, you know, it's going to be dangerous. Every battle we fight is dangerous. But our king wants a drink of water. David, our king, the one that took us when we was just a ragtag bunch of discontented people, didn't know anything about war. He took us under his wings, gave us a place, fed us, taught us, trained us. King David, he wants a drink of water. I want to get it for him. And they said, let's do it. That night they went down to the wall of Bethlehem. They made a breach in the wall. And at the right time, they began to storm through the castle. The Bible says that they, I lost my place. The three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it, brought it to David. These men, these three great men, broke through the host of the Philistines, made it to the well, and I can just see them in my mind's eye. I can just see them, Adino on one side, Shammah on the other side, Eleazar with the bag that had the container in it to get the water. One man was yielding his spear. The other man was fighting with his sword. Careful that Eleazar didn't get hit. They were taking care of him and then fighting for their king. Remember, be careful with that water. It's for the king. And let's fight, Adino. Let's get him. We're fighting for the king. This time, he didn't command us to go. This time, we're here because we love him. And we want to honor him. And we want to please him. And so let's fight with all of our might. And they drew that water. They made it back to the breach in the wall and escaped up the mountainside and handed that water to David, who was so touched that he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. Let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and me, members of this church, would band together for one purpose, and that was to please the king? Whatever, draw close enough to him that we know what he wants. We know what his desire is. And it's our heart's mission to go fulfill that for him. Why? Not because we want the fame and the notoriety of doing something great, but just simply because we love him. Lord, I'm going to do this because I heard you say, this is what I heard the preacher say the other day. He said that you expected your children to do this and do that. And since I love you, I'm going to obey you. Not because you're commanding me, but because I love you. They had a purpose. Their purpose was to please their king. What is your purpose? Why did you come tonight? I know it wouldn't hear me preach. Why did you come? Did you come because you know that Brother Melvin has told Brother Alton to keep an eye on who's here and who's not here, and let's preach at them real hard the next time they are here? No. That's not why you're here. That's all a big joke. Why are you here? Only you know the answer to that. And I want the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to look deep into your heart and allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you. Is your priorities right? Are you persistent like you ought to be? What is your purpose for being here? I've met a lot of Christians down through my life, and I honestly don't know what their purpose is. It doesn't appear to please their King. And there's been times, Brother Melvin, in my own life, where I've had to look down deep and say, what am I doing? What's my mission here? What's my purpose here? I don't think I'm pleasing the Lord too well. What's my purpose? Maybe it's time tonight for you to take a look deep inside. And if the Lord speaks to your heart, you come. I know it's been scattered. It's probably not been brief, but it's been scattered. And I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but God laid this on my heart to deliver to you that are here tonight. And if He speaks to your heart for any reason, you come and obey the Lord. Brother Dave, you come, get us a song. Or Brother William, you come, get us a song. I hope the Lord has spoke to you tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for the privilege that You've given us to stand and to try to preach. Even though, Father, I acknowledge that I've not been the best soldier for You. Lord, I want to with all my heart. I want to please You. I want to be one of those that You call great. I could care less what the world calls me. But, Lord, to know that my commander-in-chief thinks that I'm one of the great ones, that would be pleasure enough. Lord, I could care less what the world thinks, but I want to be pleasing in Your sight. And, Lord, I thank You for just the opportunity to have a little part in this warfare. Lord, I thank You for this army, this platoon of soldiers that You've given me to worship with. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to band together around our King, to hold that banner high. And, Lord, as the days get more and more sinful, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to shine more and more bright on this battlefield. Lord, I'm reminded of the song, I'm going to die on this battlefield. Lord, I do. I want to die swinging that sword. I don't want to be a coward and run, but I want to die in the war. Father, I pray that You would help us now. Whatever You lay on Your children's heart, that's fine. I pray that they'd come and work it out with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Melvin, you come. Let's all stand while we sing.
Jesus is calling.
You obey the Lord tonight.
Calling for you and for me.
Yes, yes, yes.